independent wrestling is pretty damn fucking cool.
We're sitting down in the spotlight and squared circle with Rhino.
We're trying to bring more awareness to the independent professional wrestling scene.
Undoubtedly thankful for anybody that just decided to tune in and actually liked us enough to keep listening.
You're tuned into a show of such thermonuclear awesomeness, your head might just implode into another quantum universe. That's right, it's Grapple Talk, the universal cure for boredom. Featuring Nicholas Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden. Stick around, you don't know what is going to be coming out of their mouth.
Welcome into Grapple Talk, ladies and gents. My name is Nick Ragnar, joined by Jesse Von Ruden, A.C. Riley. Guys, good episode we got planned for today. We're sitting down with Jason J.
Jason J. of Wisconsin.
Of Wisconsin.
Of Wisconsin.
Well, it's
of the human race.
I mean,
it's
can I talk like for 5 seconds?
No.
Well, it's tough because, you know, Jason J., we can't say Jason J. of, you know, one promotion because he refs all over the Wisconsin area and also moving into the Minnesota region with WrestlePalooza. So, you know, it's easier to say Jason J. of Wisconsin because he's from Wisconsin.
Okay. He's a good ref, you know.
Yeah, he's a great ref.
Fantastic ref. We actually had the privilege of being on a lot of shows he refs in. I'm always amazed just how professional he is because we see a lot of refs who aren't really professional. This guy actually takes his craft very fucking serious.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a good interview, guys.
Yeah, for a guy that's been around for a couple of years, nothing but good things to say about him, especially in between the ropes. And we'll also talk to him about his new Upstart podcast. It's a great listen, too. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. First, coming up, though, we got to talk about some shows coming up this weekend, guys.
Here are some featured shows that are appearing in the Midwest area.
And I'll start us off. We got CPWE with Minnesota Extreme Wrestling. That's happening on Saturday, September the 5th at the Don Hansen VFW 17438-17438 Baltimore Street in Ham Lake, Minnesota.
Ham Lake.
Love Ham's Beer. I don't know if that's from the same place. I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
Doors open at 6. Show starts at 7. Tickets are 12 for adults, and kids 10 and under are 8. No match card announced, but we know some guys that work for MEW, so just go to the Facebook page, and you'll, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's
Ham Lake.
That's the thing about Ham Lake is that
Ham.
Last time I was there, great venue. Really,
was there actually ham in that lake?
There was no ham in that lake.
There was no lake of ham?
Yeah, but I mean...
fell into a lake of ham.
Is that supposed to be Johnny Cash?
Are you guys okay?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
You guys are just going on like,
no,
more transitions
fine, you
than
know?
You normally are.
I'm professional, A.C. Riley. I don't get off topic.
I'm professional broadcaster, A.C. Riley.
I don't go off topic.
Well, anyways, the Don Hansen VFW is a great place for wrestling action if you're in the Ham Lake region this Saturday. Show happening in Columbus, Indiana, if you're in the region, is Emerge Wrestling this Saturday as well at the National Guard Armory, 2160 Arnold Street. Doors open at 6, show starts at 7. Tickets are 12 for front row, and general admission is 10. And I believe that Christopher Daniels is on this card.
Word!
If you're going to be in that region, check it out, and check out a great in the wrestling industry.
POW Entertainment also has a show this Saturday, September 5th, at the American Legion Post 703 at 703 Route Number 12 in Fox Lake, Illinois. Doors open at
6.
Show starts at 7. Tickets are 15 at the door or 10 in advance at their website, POWEntertainment.com.
You guys hear about that
Remember,
officer?
Remember, that's POW, POWW. Yes, I heard about
Fox
that.
Lake. That was in Fox Lake.
Oh, man, it's definitely a tragedy. A lot of that's going around lately.
Yeah.
You know, the crazy thing about that is that, you know, just seeing some of the
Wasn't he like Mikey Wilde's neighbor?
I think it must
Shut up.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting to know that there was a lot of guys, you know, from that POW family that are on Facebook that a lot of them didn't even know what was going on. They're just like, why are there so many cops in my neighborhood? And then they see the reports, you know, on the newscast and, oh, you know, there was a man shot, you know, gunned down, blah, 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 and they didn't even realize it.
The police officer, not even a man, but a cop.
Yeah, but isn't that crazy to think that, you know, this was happening right in your neighborhood? Because, I mean, that could happen somewhere in this area, just like, hey, what's with all the cops? Like,
it kind of did.
Yeah, it that's the thing, it did. But it's always weird just to think that, like, something like that could happen in your backyard.
Well, it did.
And you don't even know until,
you know.
I'm just saying... It's weird that it can happen anywhere. Fuck you guys.
I'm glad that we can look back on it and kind of laugh about it now because it was fucked up.
That was a weird day. Weird day, definitely.
It was weird.
But it's been a weird news cycle for wrestling news, too.
Yeah.
Actually, really, really weird. You guys want
to? I don't even know what you guys want to talk about today. I mean, there's so much stuff to talk about.
There's a lot.
We could talk about the cleaning up of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't even think the Hall of Fame really has anyone in it anymore. one of the weird things was the Jimmy Superfly Snuka situation has actually been one of those, I would say, like, not the one of the best-kept secrets in the wrestling industry. It's been a very much like an urban legend for years. They actually, you know, murdered one of his girlfriends at the time, and it's actually looking like that might actually go to trial. The sad thing is, though, Snuka just came off stomach cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So when he actually turned himself in, he's basically hooked up to a feeding system. And
yikes.
I read the report on the Chicago Tribune website. It sounded like it was one of the saddest situations on the planet. Because this guy, he's barely clinging on to life, and he's battling a severe case of dementia. It might not even go to trial because he might not even be competent enough to go on trial.
Wow. You'd be surprised, though, because I remember just a couple weeks ago that there was almost 90-year-old German man who was part of the Nazi army. Who was,
uh-huh.
He wasn't an actual prison guard or anything like that. He was essentially an accountant or someone that kept track of the names. And they basically said he helped fuel the machine of the Nazi Germany party. I think if I remember right, he went to trial, and I think he actually ended up going to jail for essentially being an accessory to murder. So, I mean, anything is possible, I guess, with him being put
into trial. Accessory to murder, that could actually open up Pandora's box a little bit.
Yeah.
Because one of the key witnesses in that whole situation, Vincent Kennedy McMahon, he very well, because the urban legend was very much like when the police report was actually originally written up, like I think it was the coroner or something like that wanted to claim it as a homicide, and they decided to cross it off. Now, I'm not too sure where else the story went after that. It basically became like, it was a closed case. They had no evidence and stuff like that, but McMahon actually had a lot of stroke because Allentown was where they actually did a lot of their TV taping at that point in time. So this is a weird situation, guys. It's, and then to top it all off, then we had the present day situation with Bram from Impact Wrestling, basically getting charged with felony assault and battery on his current girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That is absolutely bonkers.
Yeah. I think it just really, if you're trying to just put an umbrella statement over this, it just sometimes it kind of makes you realize that these superstars are actually, regular people and sometimes kind of sick people.
They got their demons.
Yeah.
Well, it's like everyone's got their demons, but it's one of those things where you're seeing it even in the NFL where the rise of domestic abuse cases and stuff like that. So where is this all really stemming from? I mean, we don't necessarily hear about a lot of guys on our scene and stuff like that really like beating up their wives or their girlfriends or their dogs or anything like that. But is it one of those things where once the spotlight gets so bright and there's so many other stimuluses on the side that sometimes you just don't think?
Yeah. I think that's hard. I mean, it's hard to, you can't really investigate. It's hard to investigate that problem. It seems like that's something you'd have to do digging for. If we had an answer for why or this is stemming from, there probably wouldn't be as many cases. I mean, this wouldn't be such a hot button topic right now, but yeah, I think it's easy to say that, the reason that you see a lot, I mean, you do see it in small towns and stuff we don't want to say that you don't see it, and the freaking West Salem in Wisconsin or something, where the town
probably happens 2000, a lot there. Yeah.
Exactly. But, I think you're seeing it more not only because, in these bigger sports, not only because of, maybe just the spotlight's getting so big whether it comes to advertisements or money, but maybe, it's just there's more of a spotlight on these athletes than there ever has been before. I mean, with social media, the amounts of ways we can view, things and read information. So I think now that information, there's just more outlets to, find out stuff like this.
And speaking of those outlets, Alex, how about you take this one over? Usually you're our social media guru, you're always updating our Instagram, the Facebook, the Twitter, and stuff like that. Now, over the weekend, we actually heard a report about Seth Rollins' girlfriend down in NXT. Had some not some cool stuff on her Instagram. It ended up being some Nazi Nazi posts.
A lot of racial comments and just Nazi paraphernalia. And I think the thing about it too that they were saying on top of that is that it was herself posting all the support of Nazi paraphernalia. It there was another case that they could have argued. It was back in like 2006 when JBL was doing the goose stepping and doing the Nazi salute across the ring in Germany, because he got released from MSNBC because he did that, and then the WWE kind of gave him a hefty fine for that. But at the same time, I think there was the difference, because he was essentially doing that to get cheap heat in Germany, even though it's illegal to do that kind of stuff in Germany. But I think they could argue the fact that it was JBL, the character, that was doing that, not JBL, the person that was, you know, supporting a Nazi Germany, whereas this was coming from Zara's personal account.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, we can't even argue it was the character supporting that, because no. So, yeah, she's out of a job.
we talked about
this before with Havoc. You know, she said all the racial comments, and the WWE saw that, and it's like, you're probably not getting a job here. So, and even like with Hulk Hogan, a legend, a WWE legend, well, technically not anymore. So it's one of those things that you have to be really careful about what you say and who you say it to. And I mean, do you guys see too that Hogan was on Good Morning America and he broke down apologizing for what he said?
Yeah,
I would think most people saw that. I think people that weren't even involved in wrestling kind of saw
that. I don't think Hogan would have went on, you know, Good Morning America, Stogie in his mouth and be like, I don't give a fuck him.
You'd be surprised, though. I mean, I'm sure someone like Donald Trump would probably do that.
Yeah, but he's an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, this was honestly the first, for Hogan, if you want to talk about that at all, this is, you know, PR 101. This is exactly what he needed to do to try to
take some time away from the spotlight, do the good feely tour, you know?
Yep. Do you guys see that on Twitter, though? Somebody apparently was like, hashtag Black Lives Matter, and he was like, hashtag All Lives Matter. So people were taking that and twisting that. It's just funny how, you know,
like, good intentions.
This is something that will never let up with Hogan, I can tell you that much.
No.
Well, something else that we got coming up, guys, is going to be an awesome interview. We're talking to Jason Jay of Wisconsin, as Riley likes to say.
Of Wisconsin. Of the human race.
He's a guy that actually, as he'll tell you, I mean, if you see him around, he's definitely going to be in his stripes. One of the, actually, I'd say, better referees right now in town, and guys, it's going to be a great interview.
I think a lot of referees would say he's one of the better refs in town. I mean, that's essentially how this interview came to be. It was a lot of refs saying, hey, if you ever do a referee for an interview, you got to talk to Jason.
That's high praise, and he's coming up next right here on Grapple Talk.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
For some reason, they let these stupid fans build weapons out of Legos to be used in this match.
Check out your Facebook or Twitter, and check out the Grapple Talk.
This was the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
Hello, fellow bar patrons. This is the Ring of Honor top prospect, the Beer City Bruiser, Matt Winchester.
And the Beer City Bruiser, no slouch. Many regional titles, came here with a reputation.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk.
What's up, guys? It's one of three of your favorite wrestling podcast hosts, AC Riley from Grapple Talk here. Are you a listener or even a host of another podcast and you just don't know how to get the word out about the podcast? Send us a promo advertising what your show is about to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not a podcast host, but maybe something independent wrestling that you're looking to get the word out about, shoot us an email with your promo as well. We don't discriminate. Let's face it, it's tough for the small guys to get the word out. So what better way than to band together with fellow small guys, aka advertising on a podcast? It's that easy to do. Just send a promo to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com and we'll make sure people know about you, your podcast, or maybe something else related to independent wrestling. Hopefully you're enjoying the show, and as always, support independent wrestling.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. I'd like to speak about something that's near and dear to my heart. Elijah Mainville is a 7-year-old boy with cancer. You may know him as WWE superstar Drax Shadow. His video has been circulating around social media and wrestling websites. There's now a way you can support Drax Shadow and Elijah's family by buying the official Drax Shadow t-shirt, available now on booster.com. The fundraiser was created by Elijah's mother, Melody. All profits go straight to the Mainville family. Go to booster.com/Drax_Shadow, or just check out Grapple Talk's Facebook page or Twitter for more information on that. booster.com/Drax_Shadow. Let's make sure they meet their goal.
Hi, this is Corey from Independent Wrestling Apparel. Are you an independent wrestler trying to get t-shirts made or hosted online for sales? Visit us at independentwrestlingapparel.com or email us at indiewrestlingapparel@gmail.com and find out how you can get sponsored today. Are you a fan looking to get a shirt from your favorite independent wrestler? Visit our website at www.independentwrestlingapparel.com today and purchase your shirt of your favorite independent wrestler.
It's not about the shoes. It's about knowing where you're going, not forgetting where you started. It's about having the courage to fail, not breaking when you're broken, taking everything you've been given and making something better. It's about work before glory, and what's inside of you is doing what they say you can't. It's not about the shoes. It's about what you do in them. It's about being who you were born to be.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, it looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tease just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tease.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
This is the monster of the Midwest, Sadus. There's a couple of things I really, really like. I like to hurt people, and I like Grapple Talk. So I'm going to keep listening.
It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we're joined by referee Jason Jay from the Wisconsin area. Jason, thank you for joining us this week.
Well, thanks for having me finally, guys.
Well, I mean, we had to get you on eventually. I keep telling you at shows that we were going to get you on, and I think you just kind of had like a shorter attention span with it, because every time you would usually complain like, oh, when am I going to be on? And I have to always reassure you that we were going to get you on. It was just a matter of time.
Oh, I understand that you were just trying to reassure me and everything, but, you know, it doesn't hurt to be a little bit persistent.
Better late than never, though, right?
Exactly, exactly. At least it's not the last show ever.
Exactly.
Well, you never know. You know, we were talking off camera that you basically work, your shoot job is you work at Best Buy and the Geek Squad, and you basically have a hatred for Skynet. So if Skynet takes over, this is very much the last episode.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm probably not on their top 10, but top 15 at least, wanted list, if they send a Terminator back to get me.
I guess sometimes it's not okay to be wanted.
Yeah, well, in the ref field, it's much nicer, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because, you know, a few years ago, it would be really hard to find a good amount of refs, and now we're actually seeing that, you know, especially in the Wisconsin area, we're getting a lot of good quality refs. And, I mean, when I talk to refs at other shows, like, for example, like TJ Madison, Jimmy Diamond, et cetera, your name always pops up as one of the top refs in the area. So what's that like to be known as one of the top refs in the Wisconsin state?
It feels really good. You know, it's weird being kind of a ref because you're a worker, but you're not really a worker. I just kind of go with the flow and just enjoy the ride right now.
Well, Jason, you know, people that know you and stuff know that you first broke into the business attempting to actually be a worker. You know, a guy in the ring, you know, me and Jesse came up with the idea of calling you Garfield Arbuckle. You'd be a really rich guy.
It's one of the greatest conversations ever.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, you'd have a little butler. It was fantastic.
Yeah,
but
it was pretty good stuff.
But you didn't take that route. You decided to put on the stripes. What made you want to make the move?
It was kind of a transition that happened. I never quite gave up the dream of trying to become a worker. What kind of first happened with everything was what kind of re-spurred my love with wrestling was I was out for quite a while with a torn quad, and I started getting reconnected with wrestling, watching the WWE, Ring of Honor, TNA, and then eventually I started going to some indie shows, Supreme Wrestling Entertainment, which I'm sure you remember quite well, Riley, and
yep.
I started training, and then one day, all of a sudden, Sexy Casey threw me in the figure four, tried to break my ankle, and right before he was going to snap it, he said, "You want to be a ref?" And I said, "Sure." And pretty much since then, you know, for a while, I was kind of doing double duty, trying to train and also be a ref. Then I ran into a little bout with testicular cancer, which was a pretty big setback, and then just kind of transitioned into reffing, and that's where I've basically been for the last, I don't know, 2+ years now.
Well, it's been a very good 2+ years, though, for you as a referee. We just got done doing the BCW State Fair show, and you actually got an opportunity to referee the match between Tito Santana and Steve Corino. As a guy who's only gotten like 2.5 years of experience reffing and being able to, like, be the guy in that match just to kind of sit back and watch it and like help him orchestrate that one. That had to be like a really cathartic feeling to be like, hey man, like I fucking made it.
Oh yeah. Easily. That was a dream come true. I mean, watching Tito Santana back when I was younger, I'm sure everybody kind of has the memory of him versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. I mean, that was kind of like my little version of WrestleMania, watching Steve Corino also growing up. It was actually my first time ever meeting Steve Corino, which is kind of strange with how much he's been around the Wisconsin area. But it was a dream come true. It was in a great match with, I mean, a great organization. And the crowd, I mean, the State Fair, that's just one of those things that I can definitely check off the bucket list of, you know, having that kind of experience.
You know, one thing when I was training, when I was doing refereeing and the training process, I know one thing that they told me about was that it's one of the best ways to really understand the psychology of the ring when you actually make the transition to wrestler. But with you doing wrestling training and reffing, do you think that kind of helps you in that perspective as well, that you kind of know what to expect being someone that has training, or do you think that it really doesn't have much of an effect?
I think some of the bits of training that I had did transition over really well. I never really got far enough to understand the psychology aspect of things, but just the physical demands and aspects of what those guys are going through really gave me an appreciation. And, you know, the one thing that I have always kind of said is that, you know, a match can be really good, but if you put a good ref in there, it can be a great match because they can really just bring across that emotion. They can really make those counts seem much more than just, you know, a three count or a falsie with a two. You know, it's been a great time doing the refing aspect of things and carrying those things over that I learned from training. But, you know, it's going to be one of those things that I'm still trying to get into the ring again.
Absolutely, Jason. And I love that you bring that up, too, because, guys, how many times – Jesse and Alex, have we, AC, sorry, shoot your name. How many times have we, you know, talked about the idea about how, you know, important that referee aspect is? I mean, mm-hmm. We've seen it before where we've seen matches with not very good refs, and we've seen it before when you have a good ref, and that can really make or break a match regardless of who you have in the ring because, I mean, it really establishes that realism, and like Jason was saying, it really, you know, brings that whole that psychology aspect to it. And I got to ask you, man, you know, in your opinion, I mean, was this something that, you know, you've always kind of, you've been working on? I mean, have you watched tape on, you know, how to be a good ref? Like, how do you become a better referee?
Well, in the beginning, it was just pretty much trial and error and just screwing up and having guys in the back tell me what I did. And trust me, they don't hesitate to tell you when you screw up something in their match, whether it be just a simple count or a positioning thing. But yeah, after I kind of really embraced the role of being a referee, I did go back. I would go watching the Earl Hebners, the Nick Patricks, go back there and just try to take little mannerisms from what they do and how they would make their counts, their positioning in certain situations, and just try to apply it as best as I could to what I was doing then in the ring.
Are you going to wear the Nick Patrick neck brace from circa 96 WCW Nitro? Are you going to be wearing one of these days?
Oh, with as much as Dysfunction's been super kicking me lately, it might have to come to that sooner than later.
I want to go back really quick. So we were talking a little bit about just how important the referee role is to the professional wrestling aspect, you know, with a match, because, you know, you were saying that you're with the wrestlers, but you're not a wrestler, but in reality, you really do add to the match, because a lot of times when you see a really great referee that can be animated, you know, if, you know, if someone is flying off the top rope or does a moonsault or something,
Bill
Nage, something spectacular that, you know, the referee just like, holy crap, you know, it really adds to that. Or even, you know, one thing that when I was refereeing, like, you're supposed to sell the chop because you're watching the guy get chopped and you say, oh man, that really hurts. And it really does add to the fans' perspective of the scene's like, man, you know, the referee's not getting hurt, but man, he is selling it like he just got hit. I think that really does add to the match as well, to say, like, you're part of the match because you're getting animated with it.
Oh, 100%. And those chops, especially some of the guys around in the state here, those are easy for a ref to sell, because I did take a chop line back in my training time, mm-hmm. and you know, some of those just really hurt like a bitch. They have great sound, but man, they will leave some handprints and leave you swollen and feeling it for a couple days. So it's not a far stretch when you felt a chop to sell a chop as a referee and just kind of like, ooh, man, you know, I feel for you. But hey, I'm glad it's not me that's happening.
Jason, you know, what I think the million-dollar question is when it comes to referees is, you know, the idea that if a fan's watching and, you know, maybe if a ref or, you know, something gets blown in the match, it depends on how that ref responds, see how that match continues on. So in your opinion, if a spot gets blown or maybe a guy forgets to kick out or the finish gets changed, what have you, what do you always fall back on? So let's say there's a guy on the mat and he doesn't get his shoulder up in time. Do you just go down with a three count and that's how you play it? I mean, as a referee that's learning from the best, what do you do?
Yeah, definitely. If they are too lazy to get their shoulder up before that three count, then they deserve to lose. I mean, my count, one of the big things that I pride myself on is the fact that my count is consistent. So when guys hear me go up for that three count and they don't move their shoulders, that's on them. That's not really on me. You know, the promoters have told me if they don't, you know, kick out, count to three. If they nutshot somebody right in front of me, disqualify them. Yep. If their jobs as the performers are supposed to be to try to be able to get things one up on me. So it definitely something that, you know, I try to be able to give them as much leeway as I can. But if push comes to shove, I'm not going to look like the dumbass. They will.
Exactly. And I think that's something that a lot of fans always forget because, you know, sometimes you'll see that like in Botchmania, for example, if somebody forgets to kick out. And then all of a sudden it will be the ref's fault because he's the one that counted the three when that wasn't supposed to be the finish. But at the same time, like you said, it's on them to kick out. And I mean, you know, if you're in the ring and the ref is yelling one, two, three, and slamming the mat, and if you can't take it from hearing the count or even feeling the effect of the mat when you slap the mat, I mean, that's really your fault.
See, but at the same point, if I pull up my count and they don't kick out, I look even dumber,
yeah,
really,
exactly.
At the end of the day. You know, I've never had to, thank God, I've never had to pull a count ever once, and I hope I never have to. I'm sure at some point in my life, you know, I will have to while I'm in the wrestling business, but I hope I never have to.
So how do you actually develop your cadence as a ref for the count, either on the 10 count or even like the 3 count? Is it just a lot of practice?
Well, what I kind of do, especially when I do like when two guys are down and I'm doing the double down, what I do is I make the count. I point to both guys, gives me a little bit of more than a Mississippi. Then I keep going. For when it comes to the 3 count, basically I just try to raise my arm as high as I can, slap the mat as hard as I can, and count it out. It's not rocket science, but I just try to be consistent with it, you know, for a while, especially in my early Green days.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, though. We do get to see a lot of refs, and for some of them, it is harder than rocket science.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, you know how hard it is to be on commentary sometimes and to suspend reality when, you like Jason said, when you see a guy, like, nutshot a guy in front of a ref, you're like, ref!
Yeah.
He's a disqualified ref.
I mean, the refs just look at him like,
oh, the refs just like,
I don't know, I can't
ref!
Do anything.
He's got a hold of the ropes, ref. Count
yeah,
to five.
Exactly. You know, or else like the some dudes on the outside pummeling him, and the refs just look at him and is like, "What am I supposed to do? You're a fucking ref, man. Call DQ."
Right, and I think that one thing that kind of lends to me being a little bit better than some of the other refs that are out there is my size. You know, because I'm bigger. Let's just be honest, I'm bigger than a lot of the guys that are out there in the Indies. I'm 6'1", 6'2", 230 pounds. So I'm not a small guy. So the ref is supposed to be an authority figure out there. When you got a little tiny guy, you know, like a Charles Robinson, you know, one of the best refs out there, not trying to knock him by any means or stretch of the imagination. I wish I had some of the memories that little Nate had. But, you know, when you're a big guy, you have a lot more presence to be that authority figure. You can do the things where it's like, if a guy is pushing that, you know, 4 count, pushing to the 5 for a DQ, I have the ability to kind of grab them, throw them back, and make it look more realistic than, say, a smaller guy or a smaller ref would do.
Jason, we're talking about reffing right now, but, you know, we got to ask you, man, if you started training as a worker, I mean, what are the hopes? I mean, when would you try to plan on, you know, maybe trying to be that guy in the ring that you once were training as?
Pretty much whenever. You know, I've been dealing with a little bit of an injury over the last month or so. I sprained my Achilles tendon playing softball for an ACW softball game. And so I've been kind of nursing that, but in the process, you know, I've been working a little bit more on the upper body. I've been doing, you know, a shameless plug for DDP yoga out there. You know, I'm still trying. It's a little bit more difficult to find somebody that would have interest in training you at my age, you know, being 32. Yeah, that's, you know, kind of know when DDP first started training, but I'm no DDP. You know, I don't have the connections that DDP had or has. And I'm just basically waiting for any kind of opportunity I'm given. That's kind of my whole philosophy in this business is, you know, I try to stick around. I try to work hard. If somebody asks I can do something, I say yes. That's all you really can do, and hope that somebody sees something and they're willing to either, you know, work a program with me, or they're willing to take me the rest of the training way to be able to get it. You know, I know I don't have much time left in the tank, but what I got left, I just want, you know, as Christian used to say, I just want one more match.
It's funny that you say that you don't really have a lot of connections, and, you know, especially with you saying that you bust your ass, because you really do, because, you know, here you went from, you know, refereeing for SWE and, you know, getting your start. And then just within a month's time, you just exploded as far as a ref, because now here you are refereeing for ACW, BCW, ICW, tons of places over, you know, in Wisconsin. On top of that, you got to wrestle, ref for WrestlePalooza. And a lot of that is because of your connections and also because you bust your ass, because, you know, if you can have a ton of connections, but if you don't work hard at it, they're not going to really recommend you. But if you're busting your ass, you know, your connections are going to be like, hey, man, I got this ref. He's fantastic. He'll really add to this match. So, you know, what's that like to referee for all these places, and in particular, for WrestlePalooza?
My connections have been actually pretty great, now that you bring it up, which is strange how it actually all started with just one invitation to Monday Night Raw for Dysfunction. I had an extra ticket, and the rest is kind of history. WrestlePalooza was probably the biggest deal to me that I've had so far. I mean, it was the most raucous crowd that I've ever been a part of. I mean, when they say people were hanging from the rafters, I mean, this place had a balcony, so they were literally hanging from the rafters. The kind of energy in that kind of wrestling show is a little bit different than some of the ones that you're going to see around here. I would probably liken it more to like a Mondo Lucha, where, you know, you got bands, you got burlesque dancers. It's more of a variety show to really appeal to, you know, a whole cross spectrum of people, as opposed to just the standard, you know, hardcore wrestling fan that you see at like the ACW, ICW, WPW shows.
I mean, it's hard to argue just how awesome WrestlePalooza is. I mean, I know we've been there multiple times.
I miss it.
But, you know, we can talk about reffing literally all day. I think it's a topic that's easy to talk. What else is easy to talk about is podcasts, because this is a podcast. Jason,
barely.
You're part of a brand new upstart podcast. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh yeah, the THC3 Roadcast. Now I screwed it up. Kurt always screws it up, but I screwed it up this time. It's on onegimmickworld.com. Basically, the whole premise of the podcast is, you know, we have this group of guys, usually myself, Dysfunction, Jared Jax, the Marman, Mario Andrew Cavallo, and a couple other guys that kind of cycle in. But we usually roll together on the, you know, for our road trips, and we always have these outrageous, you know, conversations and adventures. And we just have thought, why don't we record this shit? So they finally talked me into picking up a microphone since I work here at Best Buy, and we just been kind of rolling with it. You know, I got the laptop, I got the car, which is our studio. We pretty much film everything that we do, not necessarily while we drive, but in the car. Like this past week, we had Yabo, the clown, who came into the studio, and we basically had just a great interview with him. And it's an open forum. We talk wrestling, we talk politics, we talk conspiracies, we basically anything that kind of comes on our mind, we blurt it out. We're not worried about being politically correct or worrying about not dropping four-letter words. We're just out there to have some fun. Let people show that, you know, the indie scene is alive, it's well, and people are having fun. I mean, it's kind of a little bit more of an audio kind of road diaries, like what Colt Cabana and Daniel Bryan started.
I ended up listening to that first episode, really enjoyed it, really looking forward to the Yabo episode this week. But before we wrap things up here, we got to know, where can we see referee Jason Jay coming up?
Oh, let's think here. Coming up on September 11th, I'll be at Mondo Lucha. The 18th, I will be at ACW. The 19th of September, I will be at WPW. And those are the only ones that I can really kind of pick off the top of my brain here. I have a hard time keeping my calendar pretty straight between all the various different organizations and everything. And I'd love to be able to come back out there and wrestle for, like, RCCW out by you guys. I'd love to be able to come back out there again sometime, too. But, yeah, I'm a little bit of everywhere. Odds are, if you're in the state of Wisconsin and you're going to a wrestling show, I'll probably be there in my stripes.
Well, awesome. Everybody who goes to those shows definitely is all the more treated because you're there refereeing.
Yeah. Well, you make it sound like they're wood. Oh, they're totally treated, you know? Like, that's stain-resistant.
They get a treat. I don't know.
What are you guys even talking about?
I don't know.
Well, you treat wood, man. He sounded like he was treating wood.
I think you're the only one that made that transition.
All I know is if you're looking for referee Jason Jay, like he said, look for a guy that's like 6'1". I mean, he's like the only ref in the state of Wisconsin.
Gargantuan ref.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also on Twitter at the True Shoe. That's THETRUESCHUH. So, like, I'm able to be found in many, many different ways.
Awesome, Jason. Well, we'll let you get back to work. Thanks for joining us here on Gravel Talk this week in the Spotlight Squared Circle.
Oh, thank you again for having me, guys.
THC3 Roadcast, OneGimmickWorld.com. Check that out for the Roadcast with Jason, Dysfunction, and much more. Stick around for more Gravel Talk right after this.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Darren Corbin.
I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Brewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Rudin, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RB Enterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday
on iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
Hey, this is the real Brock Hall. You want to get your reality check? Check out Grapple Talk.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. Interview wrestlers, go back in time with this week in wrestling history, and we go, hey, whatever happened to you? Check us out on iTunes or DVME.com.
Hey, what's up, Grapple Talk? This is Dysfunction and my tag team partner, Chase McCoy.
Ah!
We are Insane Evil, and we're here on Grapple Talk to tell you a little bit about my new podcast. It's the THC3 Roadcast. It's on OneGimmickWorld.com. Myself, Jason J., Jared Jacks, and our random guests like Chase McCoy, Matt Winchester. The list goes on and on, but check out our podcast and give it a like.
High five, Jay.
Yeah!
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, indiepowerrankingsipr.wordpress.com.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
You're listening to Grapple Talk,
the hottest
property in this industry today.
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Wow, that was a great interview there with Jason J. You know, I'm glad he had to go back to work, guys, because he always warned us about this Skynet thing. You know, I'm not too sure if, like, he's just pulling our legs or this is actually a real threat.
Is this going to be like the Fall of Troy kind of thing where it's just like he prophesizes Skynet and then we're like, yeah, whatever, and then Skynet comes and we don't believe the prophet?
I don't know.
Are you guys looking at me? I got a message from my grandma, so I was reading that.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, everything's
good.
What's
grandma up to these days?
We're just talking about, you know, maybe going out to eat the next couple of days, hanging out.
Aw, that's cute.
Hanging with grandma.
Oh, nice.
Guys, Wrestler's Perspective this week, interesting topic. We just found out that apparently Bailey's merch is the top selling on WWE.com, I believe. Is that correct? Is WWE.com?
I believe so, yes.
Which is amazing because I'm not even sure if she's been on Raw yet. Maybe once she's made an appearance?
Yeah.
Or maybe not at all.
No.
If she has been, it was very brief because she has not been on there lately.
So she hasn't. So let's just say for, you know, whatever, she hasn't made it to the big time necessarily yet, but she's apparently selling more merch than any other diva that's, you know, currently, you know, maybe on Raw, which is huge. And when you look at her gimmick, you have to think there's some similarities. And I'm just going to say this. To Cena, you know, you're selling yourself to, you know, that PG generation. A lot of kids like Bailey. You'll see a lot of kids wearing her shirts. They love all the merchandise she has. Riley, as a wrestler, I mean, it seems like this is working. Like this is a working thing. Is selling to kids. I mean, what's your opinion on that?
I think it's a great marketing strategy because, you know, a lot of times kids obviously just don't have a ton of money lying around. So I mean, ultimately, it has to be the parents that buy it. So, you know, if your kid's saying, oh, I really want this shirt, can I get it? You know, they're like, oh, okay, son or daughter, whatever, here you go. And then, of course, at the same time, when you buy it for your kid, maybe you want one for your own. It's like, oh, we can be, you know, we can be matching and all that. And plus two, you know, Bailey's shirt is I'm a hugger. And who doesn't like getting hugs?
You'd be surprised. There's some people that don't like hugs.
Do you not like getting hugs, Jesse?
Actually, I really enjoy hugs.
See, exactly. So it's one of those things where it's not a specific thing. I think what's really good about Bailey's merchandise, it's really generic, so everybody can apply to it. Because if you're saying that I'm a hugger, and you're like, yeah, I like hugs, I'll buy that, and boom, there's more money for that. So, and that's the thing. I've noticed that a lot on NXT is that, like, Bailey would come out to the ring, and then you see – you know, like older guys and, you know, kids and, you know, you see like basically every age group with that shirt. So, I mean, that's a really smart marketing strategy. So whoever thought about, oh, let's do this for the shirt was a genius.
It's funny when you think about it because I really see a lot of similarities when I see Bailey and when I see like a guy like John Cena. Like, yeah. It seems so simple and so easy, but, it, you know, Cena's hated for it nowadays because that's been his shtick for the past decade. I mean, and I think it's just funny, and what I really think helps out in this as well for Bailey too is that, you know, as a top selling merch person, you know that she's going to be pushed to the moon. I mean, when you're able to sell that much merchandise, you're pretty much selling yourself as the face of.
Well, that's exactly what it is with Cena, is that he's a top selling merch guy, so they're obviously not going to get rid of him. They're not going to, you know, put him down on the bottom card if he's making all that money. That's exactly what happened with Austin. He sold a ton of merch and he was a top star.
Yeah,
so.
I think it's a really interesting topic to talk about, especially with, you know, I mean, it seems like right now, out of all those divas, you could argue Sasha may be the most talented. You could say Charlotte may have the brightest future. But when you look at merch sales, I mean, that speaks differently because that's what's important is getting over, not necessarily how good you are. Well, I mean, it's important you got to be good in the ring, but getting over is probably one of the, you know, more important things because that's how John Cena – why he's been John Cena for the past 10 years, because he's just been able to sell at arenas.
Bailey's just got a really likable character that doesn't give up, and that's something that, like, kids get behind, like parents, grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, stuff like that. And when you have a character like that, it's really easy to move merch, you know, because there's nothing really controversial about that character. You know, they're not a pale-skinned golf lady, you know, they're not a surgically enhanced buxom vixen or anything like that. They're just there. They're Bailey. They're everyone. She's like the American dream at that point in time. You know, she's a hardworking young lady living her dreams, and almost anyone can get behind that.
Yeah, exactly.
And the fact that, like, man, if they really opened her up to go do, like, Children's Miracle Network stuff, she would blow Cena out of the water. Hands down.
I'm pretty sure if Bayley and Cena tagged up for like a Raw episode or something like that, a lot of fans would lose their fucking minds.
You'd have like the 15-year-old kids that have terminal cancer, and they'd be like, huh, Bayley or Cena? I'm taking Bayley in the tights.
Wait, what?
Is that wrong? Come on, dude, really?
We've all
been teenagers at one point.
Yes, we were teenagers at one point.
How did we get from...
Would you rather hang out with John Cena in cargo shorts or Bayley?
Bayley show up in gear with, like, the streamers on the sides and stuff like that? She'd go like, hey!
It was a joke. I was trying to say that the 15-year-old kid that
I know
was
where
going
you're
to...
Going.
Yeah.
Be kind, rewind. Tape study.
We're going to go back in time to 1974. It's Jack Briscoe taking on Dory Funk Jr. The NWA World Championship is on the line in a 2-out-of-3 falls classic from All Japan Pro Wrestling. It's an hour marathon match. Enjoy it. You might fall asleep if you watch it late, but don't. Watch it early. Have a cup of coffee. Have some eggs, you know. Maybe go get some Burger King or something. Enjoy this match. This is classic wrestling from the 70s. Between two of the all-time greats.
You could get McDonald's at, like, noon, breakfast.
Yeah, that's right.
October 6th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get McDonald's at 1 or 2 or 3, or in the morning if that's whatever you want to do.
Yeah, exactly. You could, at 1 p.m., you could watch this hour-long match with an Egg McMuffin.
Yeah.
And that won't be
October,
a weird thing anymore.
In October.
I'm more of a McGriddle guy.
Yeah.
I like the McGriddles, but I also like the breakfast burritos.
Oh, they're pretty solid.
The breakfast burritos are awesome. Yeah. I will agree with you.
Those are good. Well... Hopefully this was good. A good episode for you. Jason J on earlier. Fantastic stuff talking to him. Make sure if you haven't yet, tune into our past couple of episodes. We've had great ones talking to a couple of legends in the business. Also talked to Colin Brooks last week. Guys, we've been on an all-time high, I think, the past couple of past month. It's been great.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a lot of fun.
We're about to get into fall, you know. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a lot of really good guests lined up.
Yeah. Really good guests.
Oh, yeah. Some fantastic guests.
And we're not ribbing anybody. We're actually saying that because we don't know exactly who we're going to talk to.
You know, we had a list. We actually came up with a list about like 10 episodes ago where we had all these guys on there we wanted to talk to this summer, and I think we talked to like 3 of them.
Yeah, now we're just spitballing. Now we're just playing
by I think
by
we
ear.
Still followed the list. It's just not in the exact order we actually plan to follow it.
We'll get Hulk Hogan on next week and talk to him about his racist comments.
Ace Riley, close the comments.
Can't wait to talk to Hulk Hogan about his racist comments, I guess.
Well,
I'm not a racist, brother.
I'm not a racist, brother.
No, seriously, though. So
I hate everyone, brother.
We saw on social media that Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa will be in the Tag Team Classic next week, so that would be awesome. So hats off to those guys to really making it now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the WWE is actually really kind of going indie here. So it's going to be interesting to see what the next 6 to 10 months actually produce as we are on the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of it, too, is because you got a guy like Triple H that, you know, has seen all these top-notch talent, like guys like Kenta, guys like Kevin Owens, guys like Finn Balor, and he sees how popular they are. You bring him into NXT, which is essentially that transition from independent to Monday Night Raw, in my opinion, because you got the WWE production with the independent wrestling feel. So, yeah, these guys would get super over there.
Really quick before this episode ends, I just want your guys' opinion. How long before Finn Balor's entrance gets stale and you just fast forward through and you don't want to watch anymore? Now? I don't like why. I mean, his entrance is boring now to me. It was super cool at first because like, that was like part of his mystique, and now when I see him, I'm just like, I've seen this like 100 times already.
You know why you've seen it 100 times already? Because he's on almost every episode of NXT now.
But I'm just saying, like the part of the entrance was like the cool, one of the cooler parts about him debuting. Remember when he first, came out, everybody's like, "This is awesome," and now it's like, "This is the same," and it's not a bad thing.
Well, you know, I hate to say it, some
but
of those
it's like
fans,
a 2-minute long entrance.
Some of those fans also are the ones where, you know, after laying a pretty big deuce, they look in the bowl and they see it and they're like, "This is awesome." That's the same type
well
of fan.
Put.
You know, it's just...
I'm just wondering, is there going to be a point where they cut down the entrance or something? Because it's so... Like, I was watching NXT when it's Kevin Owens and Finn Balor, and I was like, oh, I'm so excited. And then it was like 2 minutes in, and I was like, I'm going to do something else. It's long.
I think it's anything with any entrance, really. A lot of them are just kind of plain.
Yeah, that's
true. You know, like, Balor's really stepped his up, and he's got a good entrance, you know? But it's also very choreographed.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that kind of hurts it. It doesn't feel organic.
That's, well, yeah, exactly that.
All this in here, though, was organic.
Yeah, that poop that you just...
Yeah. Pantomime poop.
All right, thanks for joining Grapple Talk this week. We'll catch you guys next week. Stay classy.
Thanks for joining Grapple Talk.
Great, great closing comments. You actually had something more than three words.
Thanks for shitting on me initially on it.
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
I'm going to start us off this week because I'm a dick and I like to
You're a douche.
Erected. Oh, yeah, you know.
That was probably too far. I don't know if that needs to be bleeped out or not.
No.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.